and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Father, bless now the next moments we have. Well, as we investigate a little bit more of this place that's not talked about that much in personal detail like it is here, God, help us to glean a blessing from this, Lord, that we can talk to people from a position of knowledge and understanding, and Lord, warning them not to come to this dreadful place. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Again, as the prayers always, help us to leave here differently than we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable of things of God, a little bit more Christ-like in that which we think, say, and do, that we may be pleasing in thy sight. We love you, thank you, and adore you. Help us now, Lord, to learn something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, picking us up from last week, again, we were talking about the Gospel of Luke. I gave you the outline. We're not going to go over that because we've already gone over the entire outline. But now one of the things that we're looking at is one of the outstanding characters that I found interesting in the Gospel of Luke. His name is the rich man. And he is one of the individuals that the Bible goes into the most detail in regards to a personal account of someone actually visiting that place called hell and then describing what he's gone through. Amen. And by the way, I will ask you some questions about that in a minute, but let's get back to the outline here. We saw, number one, the facts at hand. We saw a rich man and Lazarus down there in verses 19 through 22. We said that in verse 19, the rich man was well cared for due to his abundance of money. Verses 20 and 21, Lazarus was poorly cared for due to his lack of money. And in verse 22, both died and were just as opposite in death as in life. Amen. What one had, the other one has. Now what the other one had, the other one has. Amen. So they kind of switched that. And I asked the question, do rich people go to hell because they're rich? No. Do poor people go to heaven because they're poor? But a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe because you're poor, you automatically granted heaven. Because you were poor down here, you were a beggar or whatever, then you're granted access to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. And because you're rich, they think you're automatically barred. No riches in heaven. Amen. And that's not true either. By the way, Joseph of Arimathea was very rich. Amen. And so we saw the facts at hand. Then number two, we saw the faculties in hell in verse number 23. I gave you the definition of hell down there in verse 23. It says, and in hell. Hell, it says Hades, or the place or state of departed souls. Amen. And we read some definitions there. We're not going to go into those. But then we saw this about some specific things that we may not think of in hell. And number one, we saw this in verse 23. In hell, there is sight. He could still see. It says he lift up his eyes. In hell, he lift up his eyes. We saw in hell, there is feeling. It says he lift up his eyes being in torments. And we saw that torment is agony, severe physical or mental suffering, extreme pain or anguish or of the body or mind. Torment. Anybody ever felt tormented before? Amen. If you felt tormented, it is not a good feeling. It is not. Maybe your boss tormented you. Maybe a child tormented you. Well, it's kind of hard for a child to torment you, amen, but they can have their days, amen. Maybe a relative tormented you, amen. Maybe a neighbor tormented you, but there is torment here on earth that you and I can go through that's not like the torment in hell, amen. But it is anguish, a severe physical or mental suffering, extreme pain or anguish of the body. We also saw this. In hell, there's recognition. Verse 23, it says down there, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There obviously was some kind of way for him to recognize not only Lazarus, whom he had just seen, but Abraham, who he had never seen. Think about it. Abraham is old by this time. Y'all agree? Abraham goes way back into the book of Genesis. He was in chapter 12, amen, of Genesis. We're talking now the Acts of the Apostles. This is, I'm not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Gospel of Luke. So this is pretty old. He had never seen Abraham, yet he recognized Abraham. So in hell, there's not only sight and feeling, there is recognition. Amen. And then we looked at this part here in verse number 24. In hell, there is speech. He cried and said. So he's able to actually talk. What do you need to talk? Tongue? What else you need? Mouth? What else you need? It helps to have teeth. Vocal cords, amen. You need some resonation. Was that the word? Resonating cords in here, amen, vocal cords. And so you got to have a trachea. What do they do? When people can't breathe, they put that trachea in them right in here, amen, and then they can't talk anymore, amen. They can just... And so it takes all of those things to talk. So in hell, he has the capability. So he must have some type of vocal cord, some type of mouth, some type of tongue, some type of breathing passageway, because to talk, what happens? Vibrations come across your vocal cords, and what happens? Speech comes out, amen. And so you've got to have some type of physical faculties to be able to talk in hell. Remember, he's in what? Torments, all right? And so there is speech in hell. He cried and said, now, by the way, I'm not asking you to put yourself in his shoes, but what might some people say in hell? This guy's asking for some relief. What might people say in hell? Gregory? Maybe curse God for being there. Yes, Gregory? Maybe trying to plead their case. What else might people say in hell? I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I should have gotten saved, maybe. I'm sorry. I should have accepted Christ before it got too late. I didn't know I was going to get into that car accident. Can I get a second chance? Amen. Josiah? Excuses, brother? Praying for somebody else. Amen. Amen. And that's a good thing. Amen. It's not going to be working. Amen. But that's a good thing. So, you know, you think about this. What might people say in hell? I'm talking about people that you know that have rejected God. We ran into an atheist yesterday, and he said, I don't believe in God. And he was very nice, very cordial about it. But I told him, I said, God sure believes in you, sir. And God still loves you, sir. Whether you don't believe in him or not, he still believes in you. Amen. And by the way, I don't care if people don't believe in God or not. They're going to see him one day. And what are they going to say? Well, I didn't believe in you. My bad, if you would. You should have. You should have. So you contemplate that. Well, there's speech here. What might people say? In hell there is speech. He cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We see another thing here. Not only is there a speech in hell, but he has senses there. He says, cool my tongue. That means he can be satisfied. He's got some type of sense that that's going to cool him. Maybe this might tickle him. Maybe that may cause an itch to calm down or whatever. But he has senses. He says, dip the tip of your finger in water. Now, I happen to have a cup of water here. So basically, he's saying, put that on my tongue, that little old drop right there. Wow. That's all he's asking for. Now, that ain't do nothing for me. I got to have a sip. The tip did nothing at all for me. But he's just asking for that tip, that drop. That's all I need, that moisture. Man. Anybody ever been caught in a fire before? Ms. Dawson, how'd you feel? You didn't feel the heat? Amen. Anybody been caught in fire where you felt the heat? How'd it feel, Vitrell? All that in one? Amen. How many of y'all can open up your oven and stick your hand all the way in the back and leave it there? So imagine that. Y'all, no, on. We're talking about on. Amen. On high, as a matter of fact. Amen. As hot as you can get it. Stick your hand in there and leave it in there. I can't hardly stay in the sauna. You know, I got to come on up out of there. Hey, man, it's hot. I got to go. But imagine being in that type of heat for that amount of time. So he's got some senses here in him. And so if he's got the sense of taste, he probably has the sense of touch. We already know he's got the sense of sight. We know he's got the sense of speech. We know later on we're going to find out he's got the sense of hearing. We know he's got the recognition already. And he also is going to have something else here as well. So he says, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hold your finger there. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Because the next thing that we're going to see here is in hell, there are body parts. There are body parts because he says, I want you to dip the tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue. So he's got a body part here. We know at least he's got tongue. He's got eyes. Amen. Come over to Mark chapter 9 and verse 44. So there must be body parts of some sort. He can see and he's got a tongue. Mark chapter 9, verse number 42. And this, again, is talking about the great length that you need to take to get right with God and get saved so that you don't go to hell. Verse 42, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, what should I do? Cut it off. Why? It is better for thee to enter into life maimed or crippled, if you would, than having two hands to go into where? Hell. So two hands in hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. So sticking your hand in that oven and never taking it out. Wow. How would that be? To stick your hand in the oven, never take it out. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. 45, if thy foot shall, thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into where? Hell, and through the fire that never shall be what? Quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye pluck, thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into where? Hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire. What does salt do? It burns, and what else does it do? Makes what? Makes you thirsty, amen. But there's one element that they do. Back in the days, preacher, it heals, and what else does it do? Preserves. They used to pack that salt pork in salt to preserve it. My grandfather used to always have that salt pork, man. We go up in that cabinet, always with some salt pork up there. Some of that stuff never went bad. It was so salty, never went bad, amen. It preserves. That's probably why we got high blood pressure to this day. Amen. It says, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. So you're going to be preserved in this fire. God's going to make sure that you are tormented and you're not getting out of this. Jehovah's Witness teach annihilation. You die, it's over, it's finished. What kind of torture is that? What kind of torment is that? That's not. Now, everlasting torment, that's torture. So we see in hell there are some body parts of some type. Well, now, what type? We really don't know, but we do know that there are some things here that are being cast into the lake of fire. Is this spiritual? I don't know. Is it physical? I don't know, but I know they have them. Go back to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. And in hell, there must be body parts of some type because he says, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Amen. What else is there? There is hearing in hell. Notice verse 25. But Abraham said, if he said Abraham said, you can suspect that he is able to hear. And if he's able to hear, he knows he's able to comprehend. So we know there's a mental recognition there as well as the hearing capacity in hell. Now, can you imagine going to this place called hell where you can see, where you can feel, where you can recognize, where you can talk, where you've got senses, you've got body parts, you've got hearing, but you've got no way out. How many of you ever had a bad dream like that where there's no way out? And you just kind of go around in circles, can't get out, amen, run around in circles. You wake up and you're thankful that it was a dream. You go back and see him dream the same dream. And it just seems like a nightmare. And then the worst kind is when you go to sleep and you wake up and you think you're up, but you're really not, and you're still asleep. Amen. So he's got this hearing. But Abraham said, but not only does he have hearing, he has remembrance. Notice what he says. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. So there is a remembrance. I wonder what people in hell will remember about on a continual basis. I guarantee you, they're probably not thinking about the good things they did. I guarantee they're probably thinking about all the things that caused them to be where they're at. And by the way, they can talk about all the things that got them to be there, but there really is only one reason why they're there. They rejected Christ. That's the only reason why they're there. They rejected Christ as Lord and Savior. And as a result of rejecting him, they're there. And they can come up with all these good, well, I should have did this, and I should have did that, and I remember this, and I remember that, and I remember this, and I remember that, and I should have did this. And none of that matters when it comes down to it. They should have just accepted Christ. By the way, I got that track, This Was Your Life, man. I remember reading that thing when I was a little kid. And if I'd have died any time between reading that and the time that I got saved, I would have went to hell. And guess what I probably would have thought about? That little booklet that I read. Because from that day forward, I used to think about it periodically. What's going to happen if I go to hell? So much so that when the Kuwait War broke out, preacher, I was afraid that I was going to go over there and get shot by one of Saddam Hussein's Scud missiles. And I was afraid to go. Because I said, if I go and I die, I'm going to hell. I said, and I know that. And I was afraid. I was afraid. And so if anything would have happened to me in that time when I knew better, at the time that I got saved, I was going straight to hell. And I was scared to death. Say, preacher, why didn't you get saved? I really didn't know how. I really didn't know how. I'd been in church. I'd been baptized. I tried to do the best I could. I did all those things. I knew that Jesus Christ was the way. I knew that you need to believe on him. But I didn't know how to do that. Say, preacher, it's easy. It's easy not you know how to do it. When you don't know how to do it, it's hard. You ever seen a kid trying to walk when they don't know how to walk? That's difficult at best. Amen? And so I believe there's a lot of remembrance going on here for this man. There's remembrance. He says, son, remember thou in thy lifetime. By the way, will the burning conditions be the same in the lake of fire as they are in hell? Will the burning conditions be the same? I believe the burning conditions will, but I believe the degree will be different. Say, why is it going to be different? Whom much is given, much to be required. He said, it should be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than this other one in the day of judgment. I believe there's going to be degrees of suffering. I believe there are going to be degrees of torment with the amount of light that you received and rejected. And I believe false prophets and false preachers and people like that are going to be held very highly accountable for not giving the gospel. I was just talking to Brother Neil yesterday about a preacher that I know, and the preacher's got a clue. He's got a clue. He's got a clue, but he will not preach the congregation the truth. And he knows. And he's got a big church. And he knows the truth and has a clue. But we'll, and I sat down and talked with him. If you know, why aren't you preaching it? Well, everybody may run away if I tell them the truth. Also, it's about money. It's about money. When you know the truth and you don't preach this, it's one thing to be not have the truth. But when you know the truth and you don't preach, I believe these false preachers will be held more accountable. And I think the degree of torment in the lake of fire is going to be different levels of severe torment. Because people have been given more light. Who much is given, much will be required. Judas Iscariot sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. How bad off do you think it's going to be for him? Probably pretty bad. More so than just the normal Joe that just dies without Christ. I believe it's going to be a lot more tougher for him. I believe it's going to be a lot tougher for people like Pilate. who handled the Lord Jesus Christ ill. And they knew better. People like Herod, I believe it's going to be worse for them. Now, other than more tolerable that for others that Jesus said, and I believe that gives some credence to the fact that there's going to be levels of suffering and torment in the lake of fire. People are going to get suffered worse if there is such a thing. I mean, being in hell is bad as it is, but then having different degrees of suffering and torment is devastating. But he did say it's going to be more tolerable for this crowd than for that crowd. Amen. And so there seems to be the indication that there will be degrees to the torment level in hell. Let's go down to this last point, the futility in hell. We saw the facts at hand, that's 19 through 22, and then the faculties that we have in hell, verses 23 down to 25. But now the futility in hell. Notice in verse number 25, leading into 26, but Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things." I bet you the rich man at that point is saying, I'd gladly give it all away that I can get out of here. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. What happened to Lazarus at the door? What did the dogs do? Licked his sores. What was he just looking for? Handout. Just looking for some food. Come down, notice the futility in hell. In hell, there are rules. Verse 26, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So in other words, he's answering Lazarus' request to dip his finger in some cool water and cool his tongue because he's tormented in the flame. He said, don't you remember you had good things in your lifetime? He said, and on top of that, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed. So if you would imagine, and I hate to do this to y'all, the folks on the right side here are in Abraham's bosom, and the folks on the left side over here are in the place of torment. And there's a gulf fixed there, and you cannot pass it. There's a barrier up there. He said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a span, there's a chasm, if you would, so that they which would pass from hence or from me, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. He says, we cannot come to you, and you and they cannot come to us. He said, it's an impossibility. He says, in hell, there's some rules. Once you go there, you are not getting out. Amen. Once you go there, you're not getting out. It's more like one of those fly traps. Fly gets on that, they're not coming out. The Roach Motel, they had the commercial that the roaches check in, the roaches don't check out, amen. Basically like that. They go in, but they don't come out. There's a gulf. He said, now, we can't come there, you can't come here. There are some rules established here, so I just need you to know that. Wait a minute, he didn't know the rule before he went there, did he? Amen. It behooves people to get saved before they get there, because you can't change rules once you get there. Don't you hate playing games with people to change rules as you go along? You know, you win and they want to change the rules. No, you can't do doubles no more. No. It's got to be quadruples now. Why you change the rules? Because you keep getting doubles. Change the rules. And then they still lose. Amen. Change those rules. Amen. And so there are rules here. He says, they cannot come. Amen. So there are rules in place. There's a great gulf fixed here. You can't leave and we can't come. But in hell, not only are there rules, in hell there is regret. There is regret. Notice verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. There's some regret here. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He's got some regrets here now. He already does not want to be there himself. But he doesn't want anyone else to come. If he can't get out, he don't want anybody else to get there. Talk about a soul winner from hell. Amen. He don't want anybody else to come. It's bad. You ever done that? You went down a bad road or something like that. You try to warn other people. You don't want to go down that way. You know, we were in an hour of traffic yesterday. Nobody warned us. It was an accident right not even a mile from our house, less than a mile from our house. But there's only one road to get into Vail, unless you go to the highway. And that road was blocked. What if somebody would have stand in the street? There's an accident down there. Turn around. You don't want to go that way. You're going to be in traffic for an hour. No one warned us. So guess what we got? Stuck in traffic. And G2 complaining about it. Joshua was happy. He had a book to read. I was like, I got my book. Me and G2. How long should I turn around? I'm going back around. I could have been at home. You can see the house. The house is right over there. I'm like, I can get out and walk home. But they'd only warned this rich man. How many of y'all think the rich man was warned before he went there? I'm sure he was. But what was his problem? Money was his God. And so because money was his God, he can't go. But he does have five brothers. He's concerned about them. He says the first 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he's looking back with regret. He's looking at these rules that he cannot change. And by the way, if you've ever heard people talk about, I'm going to go to hell and party with my friends, they can't get it past this guy. I'm going to hell and have a good time. You can't get it past this guy. Well, when I get to hell, you can't get any of that past this man. Now, I haven't seen anybody yet that's been on fire having a good time. I have not seen one. When people are on fire, they are not having a good time. This man is not having a good time. On the contrary, he says, I'm in torments. I'm in agony, if you will. Severe physical, mental suffering, extreme pain, anguish of my body and my mind. I am not having fun. So people have this warped sense of I'm going to have fun. They have this warped sense of the devil down there with some tights and a pitchfork over there, putting them in a boiling hot water. It doesn't work there. That's only on Tom and Jerry. That's only on Bugs Bunny. It doesn't work anyplace else. In real life, this is how it is. So he's got these regrets. And so with these rules and these regrets, he's saying, well, I need you to reach my family. Notice what he says down in verse 28. I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment, this reaching. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, he said, they have the word of God. Let them hear them. So in other words, Moses said, they got the word of God. Let them listen to people preaching. Let them listen to someone testifying. Let them listen to somebody who's giving them the gospel. Let them listen to that. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Why is he saying, no, he's not going to listen to Moses. They're not going to listen to the prophet. Why is he saying that? Why is he saying that, Joshua? They're like him. He didn't listen. He didn't listen to Moses. He listened to the prophets. He said, hey, they got Moses. They got the prophets. They got the word of God. They got preachers. They got teachers. Let them hear them. He said, no, they're not going to listen to that. I already know from experience. Me and my brother sat there and heckled the preachers. We sat there and heckled the prophets. We threw stones at them. We mocked them. We threw corn cobs at them. We didn't respect them. And so I know that's not going to work. He says, nay, Father Abraham. They can't be reached that way. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I got something interesting I want to show you on that. Hold your finger there. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And this always baffled me. In John chapter 12, you've got a guy by the name of Lazarus. Who knows what happened to Lazarus? Raised from the dead. Notice down in verse number 1 of John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where... Now, this is not the same Lazarus that we're talking about. Okay, these are two different Lazaruses. Okay, y'all got that? Two different Lazarus. This is Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. So 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been, what's that word? Dead whom he, speaking of Jesus, raised from the what? Dead. Okay, so Lazarus was dead. Okay, come down to verse number 9. And it says down there, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. Who's he? Jesus and Lazarus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see who? Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the where? The dead. How many people are repenting and getting saved? Or how many people just came to see the spectacle? Woo! Preacher, you see that guy? He was dead last week. Let's go see him. Is that you, Lazarus? Say something. Okay, you owe me money. Hey, they want to make sure that, hey, that seeing the miracle. But how many people are repenting? How many people repent? They're asking for some repayment. That's what they're asking for. Repent is nothing. Repayment is what we want. You're dead. You owe me money. Joshua, you owe me wings. But the chief priest consulted, verse 10, that they might put Lazarus also to what? To death. He'd been dead already. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. I was raised by Jesus. And now you're going to kill me again? Want me to come back with my shirt? I was raised twice by Jesus. Amen. So the rich man's theory that someone coming back from the dead and talking to them is null and void. Because I don't see people getting saved here because they see Lazarus. Folks are going to get saved because they see Jesus Christ. People are going to get saved because they believe the gospel. People are going to get saved because they believe they're sinners in need of a Savior. People are going to get saved because they trust Christ as Savior, and without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. So coming back from the dead is not going to help anybody at all. It didn't do any good here when Lazarus came back. They just consulted to kill him again. Verse 11, notice, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on who? Jesus. They didn't believe on Lazarus. They just looked at Lazarus and said, whoo, Jesus, you are who you said you are. I'm getting saved. Amen. It was Jesus that they looked to. And so someone coming back from the dead is probably going to scare you and spook you more than anything. Weren't you dead? Yes, but I came back to tell you, if you don't get right with God, you're going to be like me. Not like Marley's ghost. Some of y'all seen Scrooge, amen? Marley's ghost. You don't get right, you're going to be like me. Your chains are longer than my chains. Ooh. How many ever got saved from a dream, bad dream? I haven't heard anybody getting saved from a bad dream. Amen. Now, I've heard of people trusting Christ when they got up from the bad dream because of what they saw in the dream. A friend of mine, he got saved off of Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson did bad. What's the little boy's name? The little bad boy? What's the boy? Huh? Oh, the little bad boy. What's his name on Simpsons? What was his name? The little bad boy? I thought Homer. Who's Homer? That's the dad. The little boy is, what's his name again? Nelson? Simpsons. Bart, that's him. That's him. That Bart. Yeah. I think that name wasn't ringing a bell. Bart Simpson, that's him. That's him. He's the only guy that I know of that got saved off of a program. Amen. In the episode he watched, Bart Simpson was bad, and Bart Simpson went to hell. And he said he woke up, went to church, and got saved. That's the only person that I know of that got saved off of some bad dream, amen? It worked for him, amen? Some saved by fire, amen? And saved for fear, amen? So they consulted to put him to death again. And so someone coming back from the dead is not going to do a whole lot of good, amen? It'll spook you and scare you more than anything. Go back to Luke 16. There is a good illustration with Lazarus that it didn't come. And by the way, if you do have a bad dream can't change your heart. Only Jesus Christ can change your heart. A bad dream can't change your heart. A rebirth from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that changes a wicked heart. Amen. A bad dream is not going to do that. Come back over here. Verse 30, and he said the name of Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. So he says, look, there's some rules here. We can't come. You can't come over this way. We can't do anything for you. You're out there. There's some regret here. He says, hey, go to my father's house. And he said, and reach them. Verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I rest my case. They didn't get saved when Lazarus came back. What are they going to do? And Lazarus was living proof that the dead can be risen by Jesus Christ's power. And he said, I could warn you all I want to, but that's not going to get it. What's going to get it? The preaching of the word of God. They have Moses. They have the prophets. He says, if they don't hear them, they are good as lost. And so these rules were in place. The regret was faced, and the reaching was misplaced. It could not do anything. Folks, the last thing you want is for someone that you know, or even someone that you don't know, to go to hell. You know, somebody, you need to go to hell. No, they really don't. But they need to get saved. That's what you need to say. You need to get saved. Amen. You need to get saved, son. You need to get saved, young lady. You need to get saved. To tell someone to go to hell, that is like a really slap in the face, because they can't get out of there. And they will have to be judged for their sin. And folks, the main reason that most of us got saved is because we didn't want to go to hell. We saw that judgment coming. We saw that down the road. We saw that imminent place down there, those flames coming up. And we said, look, that is not for me. I don't want that torment. This guy here is in torment. And folks, today in 2019, do you think he's still there? He's still there. And guess what? The conditions haven't bettered themselves. The conditions haven't bettered themselves. He is still in torments. He's still in flame. He is still being on fire, but he is still not being consumed. He still has his tongue. He still has his eyes. He still has his body parts. He still has his memory. He still has his recognition. He has all those faculties, and he's been burning ever since he went there, and he will be burning throughout eternity. That's why it's a place of torment. People that go there will be there forever until they stand before God to be judged, just to go to the lake of fire and continue to be there, where the severity of the degrees of their burning will continue. Folks, that's not a good place. One of the most outstanding characters in the book of Luke for me was this account. When I first read this, I was horrified that it was actually in the scriptures. I was horrified that it was actually there, and I was actually afraid for myself. Then it dawned on me, I'm saved. I don't have to be afraid of that. I'm saved. But I think, man, what if I hadn't got saved? Man, this is bad. I don't know about you. I got concern for my family. I want to see my family get saved. I want to see my loved ones get saved. Now, are all of them saved? No. But it's not because I'm not trying to work with them and talk to them and tell them and show them the love of Christ. You and I don't want anybody to go to this place called hell. It behooves us to share the gospel with people every chance we get. I'm not saying beat them up every time you see them. I had to learn that the hard way. I beat my family up every time I saw them. After a while, they didn't want to see me. Amen. By the grace of God, I was overseas, so they only saw me every other year. Amen. But when they saw me, oh, did they see me. And I had to calm down a little bit and do some other things with my family other than just give them the gospel, shoving it down their throats. I had to be a son. I had to be a brother. I had to be what God wanted me to be to them, for them, so that I could reach them with the gospel. Because I was a son before. I was a brother before. Now all of a sudden I turned hellfire and brimstone evangelist. And they're like, oh, no. You love us. And I had to change my tactics. I had to love them and work with them and talk with them. Folks, you don't want anybody to go there. You may have to change your witnessing style. You may have to change your witnessing technique. You may have to change your witnessing tactics if you don't want people to go to this place called hell, because you will either attract them away from that place, or in your zealousness, you may drive them to this place. Be very careful as you give out the gospel, how you give the gospel, who you talk to, how you talk to them. Never speak down to them. Never speak at them. Speak with them. And let them know the love of God. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire, including this rich man. This was not God's desire for him. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. But all that reject Jesus Christ will go there. Folks, I trust that this gives you a little bit more insight in this place called hell. It'll help you in your witnessing. Hopefully you can use this as a witnessing tool and use it discreetly and selectively so that you are careful as you're witnessing to your loved ones about God's love and how Christ died for them. I don't know about you, Brother Rod Branch. God had his hand upon that guy for 3 months. Now, I don't know what happened before I got there, but for 3 months, that brother knew how to witness to me. He knew exactly what I needed to hear. He knew exactly how I needed to hear it. He knew exactly when I needed to hear it, and he gave it to me. And I was not repulsed. On the contrary, I was drawn to his witness so much that I wanted to hear more. He had that right amount of salt. I was like, I got to have a little bit more. Now, when he fed me, I was like, I don't know if I can deal with that. But I kept coming back for more until I finally got saved. Be careful. Witness the way God would have you to witness. Father, thank you so much for this account. Thank you for Luke's gospel, the outline that we've been able to go through. God, I pray the next time we read through the gospel of Luke, we reach this area, Lord, we'll see the seriousness of it, the severity of it, Lord, and the finality of it as well, that this is a place that none of us want anyone that we know to go to. Lord, I pray that you would help us with our witnessing technique, our witnessing tactics, Lord, and our witnessing tact, that we would have the love of God first and foremost in our mind, that, Lord, you love all men. You are not willing that any of them should perish, but they should all come repentance. Help us to go with the love of God on our minds and our hearts. The Bible still says some saved by fire and some saved by fear. And Lord, others have compassion making a difference. Lord, help us to know what level of compassion we need, what level we need when it comes to the fear of hell. And then Lord, help us do our debt level best to live the life that's pleasing in your sight, that others may see our good works and glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Bless now and dismiss us with your blessings, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Weiss got our...